And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today is May 26th, 146th day of the year. 219 days remain until the year's over with. You know, the war still rages in Ukraine. Nobody's doing much about it. Putin threatens everybody with nuclear war if they get in his way. The Chinese just gave a finger to Biden. I mean, we're really well respected on the national stage. And Dr. Jill, who's actually the president, did a photo op at the airport when they brought in some baby formula, even though there's none in the stores. And why is there none in the stores? Because it's all been sent to the border to be given to the undocumented immigrants. Courtesy of our elected officials, don't you know? As our local congresswoman told me when I asked for help on an issue, I'm a 100% disabled veteran, she said, veterans are a dime a dozen. We got to protect the undocumented immigrants. They have no one speaking for them. How about somebody speaking for the people that defended this country? Well, that seems to go over her head. She doesn't really get that. That being said, on this day in the year 17, Germanicus celebrates a triumph in Rome for his victories over the Cherusci, the Chatti, and other German tribes west of the Elbe. In 451 AD, the Battle of Alvareia between Armenian rebels and the Sasanian Empire takes place. Sasanians defeat the Armenians militarily, but guarantee them freedom to openly practice Christianity. Been more death and destruction in the name of religion than almost anything else on the planet. 946, King Edmund I of England is murdered by a thief who he personally attacks while celebrating St. Augustine's Mass Day. 961, King Otto I selects his 6-year-old son Otto II as heir apparent and co-ruler and placed under the tutelage of his grandmother Matilda. I wonder if she washed, washing Matilda. 1135, Alfonso VII of Leon and Castile is crowned in Leon Cathedral as Imperator Tordius Hispania, Emperor of all Spain. 1293, earthquake strikes Kamakura, Kanagawa, Japan, killing about 23,000 people. 1328, William of Ockham, the Franciscan Minister General, Michael of Cesena, and two other Franciscan leaders secretly leave Avignon, fearing a death sentence from Pope John the 22nd. 1538, Geneva expels John Calvin and his followers from the city. Calvin lives in exile in Strasbourg for the next 3 years. Again, war is caused by religion. 1573, the Battle of Haarlemmermeer, a naval engagement of the Dutch War of Independence. And I butchered that name, sorry about that. 1637, the Pequot War. Combined English and Mohegan force under John Mason attacks a village in Connecticut, massacred about 500 Pequots. 1644, Portuguese Restoration War. Portuguese and Spanish forces both claim victory in the Battle of Montijo. 1736, the Battle of Aquia. It's fought near the present site of Tupelo, Mississippi. British and Chickasaw soldiers repel a French and Choctaw attack on the then Chickasaw village of Aquia. 1783, the Great Jubilee Day held at North Stratford, Connecticut, celebrates the end of fighting in the American Revolution. 1805, Napoleon Bonaparte assumes the title of King of Italy and is crowned with the Iron Crown of Lombardy in Milan Cathedral, the Gothic Cathedral in Milan. 1821, establishment of the Peloponnesian Senate by the Greek rebels. 1822, at least 113 people die in the Gru Church fire, the biggest fire disaster in Norway's history. 1857, Dred Scott is emancipated by the Blow family, his original owners. 1864, Montana is organized as a U.S. territory. 1865, American Civil War. Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith, commander of the Confederate Trans-Mississippi Division, is the last full general of the Confederate Army to surrender. He did it at Galveston, Texas. There were several units across the Rio Grande into Mexico. Brazil at that time offered land and assistance to former Confederates who would come there. 1868, the impeachment of Andrew Johnson ends with his acquittal by one vote. 1869, Boston University is chartered by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. 1879, Russia and UK signed the Treaty of Gandamak, establishing an Afghan state. 1896, Nicholas II is crowned as the last Tsar of Imperial Russia. 1996, Charles Dow publishes the first edition of Dow Jones Industrial Average. 1897, Dracula, the Gothic horror novel by Irish author Bram Stoker, is published on this date. Also in 1897, the original manuscript of William Bradford's History of Plymouth Plantations returned to the governor of Massachusetts by the Bishop of London after being taken during the American Revolutionary War. In 1900, on this date, the Thousand Days War. The Colombian Conservative Party turns the tide of war in their favor with a victory against the Colombian Rebel Party in the Battle of Pelo Negro. 1908, the first major commercial oil strike in the Middle East is made at Mashhad Suleiman in the southwest Persia. The rights to the resources are quickly acquired by the Anglo-Persian Oil Company. 1917, several powerful tornadoes ripped through Illinois, including the city of Mattoon. 1918, the Democratic Republic of Georgia is established. 1923, the first 24 hours of Le Mans is held and has since been run annually in June. 1927, the last Ford Model T rolls off the assembly line after a production run of 15,007,003 vehicles. 1936, in the House of Commons of Northern Ireland, Tommy Henderson begins speaking on the appropriation bill. By the time he sits down in the early hours of the following morning, he had spoken for 10 solid hours. 1937, Walter Reuther and members of the United Auto Workers clash with Ford Motor Company security guards at the River Rouge complex in Dearborn, Michigan during the Battle of the Overpass. 1938, in the U.S., the House Un-American Activities Committee begins its first session. They're the ones that established the blacklist in Hollywood. 1940, World War II, Operation Dynamo. In northern France, Allied forces begin a massive evacuation from Dunkirk. Also in 1940, World War II, the Siege of Calais ends with the surrender of the British and French garrison. 1942, World War II, the Battle of Gazala takes place. 1948, Congress passes Public Law 80-557 that permanently establishes the Civil Air Patrol as an auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force. 1966, British Guyana gains independence, becoming Guyana. 1967, the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band is released. 1968, Dagurin in Iceland. Traffic changes from driving on the left to the right happen overnight. 1969, Apollo program. Apollo 10 returns to Earth after a successful 8-day test of all the components needed for the forthcoming first crewed moon landing. 1970, Soviet Tupolev Tu-144 becomes the first commercial transport to exceed Mach 2. 1971, Bangladesh Liberation War. The Pakistan Army slaughters at least 71 Hindus in Barunga, Sayat, Bangladesh. 1972, the U.S. and Soviet Union signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. 1981, Italian Prime Minister Arnaldo Forlani and his coalition cabinet resigned following a scandal over membership of the pseudo-Masonic Lodge P2, also known as Propaganda Due. 1981, an E-86B Prowler crashes on the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, kills 14 crewmen and injures 45 others. 1983, a 7.8 Sea of Japan earthquake shakes northern Honshu with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 8, which is considered severe. A destructive tsunami is generated that leaves about 100 people dead. 1986, European Community adopts the European flag. 1991, Zavad Kamsat Khurdia becomes the first elected president of the Republic of Georgia in the post-Soviet era. 1991, Luata Air Flight 004 breaks apart midair and crashes in the Phouthoi National Park in the Suphanburi province of Thailand. Kills all 223 people on board. 1998, Supreme Court of the U.S. rules in New Jersey versus New York at Ellis Island, the historic gateway for millions of immigrants, is mainly in the state of New Jersey, not New York. 1998, the first National Sorry Day is held in Australia. Reconciliation events are held nationally, attended by over a million people. 1998, an MIAT Mongolian Airlines Harbin Y-12 crashes near Erdinet, Akran Province, Mongolia, kills 28 people. 2002, the tugboat Robert Y. Love collides with a support pier of Interstate 40 on the Arkansas River near Weber's Fall in Oklahoma. Results in 14 deaths and 11 others injured. 2004, U.S. Army veteran Terry Nichols is found guilty of 161 state murder charges for helping carry out the Oklahoma City bombing. 2008, severe flooding begins in eastern and southern China, ultimately caused 148 deaths and forced the evacuation of 1.3 million people. 2020, protests triggered by the murder of George Floyd erupt in Minneapolis, St. Paul, before becoming widespread across the U.S. and around the world. Most of them wouldn't know George Floyd if he walked up and bit him. But it's something to protest about. 2021, 10 people are killed in a shooting at a VTA rail yard in San Jose, California. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances, Christian Feast Day, Augustine of Canterbury, the Anglican Communion, Eastern Orthodox, Lambert of Vince, Peter Sands, one of the martyr saints of China, Philip Neri, Pope Eulogius Quadratus of Athens, Zachary, Bishop of Vienna. Independence Day commemorates the day of the First Republic in 1918 in Georgia. Also, Independence Day celebrates independence of Guyana from the UK in 1966. In Poland, it's Mother's Day. In the U.S., it's National Paper Airplane Day. And in Australia, it's National Sorry Day. Which makes no sense, but there it is. All righty, let's see what else we might have. Okie dokie. Now, 1526, four remaining ships of the Spanish Loesa expedition sail into the Pacific Ocean, soon to be separated in a storm. Only one will successfully cross the ocean to reach the Spice Islands. England, France, Netherlands signed the Drievoudig Covenant against Spain. 1647, Massachusetts disallows priest access to colony. 1647, Elsa Young becomes the first person executed as a witch in the American colonies when she's hanged in Hartford, Connecticut. 1770, the Orlov Revolt, a first attempt to revolt against the Turks before the Greek War of Independence. The Orlov Revolt ended in a disaster for the Greeks. 1781, the Bank of North America incorporates in Philadelphia. 1790, territory south of the River Ohio is created by Congress. 1798, the British killed about 500 Irish insurgents at the Battle of Tara. On this day in 1805, Lewis and Clark, first sight, the Rocky Mountains. 1824, Brazil is recognized by the U.S. Also on this day in 1828, mysterious feral child Caspar Hauser is discovered wandering the streets of Nuremberg. They never did discover his real identity before he was mysteriously killed by an invisible assassin. 1834, the Portuguese Civil War ends. Dom Miguel capitulates. In 1857, U.S. slave Dred Scott and the family are freed by the owner, Henry Taylor Blow, 3 months after U.S. courts ruled against them in Dred Scott versus Sanford. 1860, the unifier of Italy, Giuseppe Garibaldi, occupies Palermo, Italy. 1861, U.S. Postmaster General Blair announces the end of postal connection with the South. That was at the beginning of the Civil War. 1861, the Union blockades the towns of New Orleans and Mobile. 1864, the Battle of Dallas begins near Paulding County, Georgia, part of the Atlanta Campaign. It was a Union victory. 1864, there was a skirmish along the Totopotomi Creek in Virginia. On this day in 1865, the Battle of Galveston took place. That's where you saw the surrender of General Edmund Kirby Smith, the last Confederate general. 1876, the HMS Challenger returns from 128,000-kilometer oceanographic exploration. 1887, racetrack betting becomes legal in New York State. 1896, John Dunham murders 6 people in Campbell, California. 1898, San Francisco approves the city charter, allowing municipal ownership of utilities. 1900, British troops under Ian Hamilton attack the Vaal in South Africa. 1904, in 2 days of bitter fighting, the Japanese army soundly defeats the Russians at Kinchan and captures the forts at Nanshan. 1906, the Archaeological Institute of America is formed. 1908, Mr. and Ms. Jacob Murdoch and their children become the first family to travel across the U.S. by car. From Los Angeles to New York City, they did it in a Packard. 32 days, 5 hours, and 25 minutes. I wonder how many times they had to stop to go to the bathroom. 1911, Germany passes legislation organizing Alsace-Lorraine as an autonomous state with its own legislature. 1913, Emily Duncan becomes Great Britain's first woman magistrate. 1918, the Georgian Social Democratic Republic declares independence from Russia. 1918, Armenia defeats the Ottoman army in the Battle of Sardarapat. 1918, the Supreme Council of Allies, meeting in Versailles, decide to recognize 2 white Russian leaders, Admiral Kolchak and General Denikin, and support them against the Bolsheviks. On this day, 1922, Vladimir Lenin suffers a stroke. 1923, the Socialist Workers' Youth International forms in Hamburg. 1924, President Calvin Coolidge signs immigration law restricting immigration. 1926, Lebanon adopts a constitution. 1930, Supreme Court rules that buying liquor doesn't violate the constitution. 1932, Admiral Makoto Saito forms a parliament in Tokyo. 1940, on this date, was the first successful helicopter flight in the U.S. Vought Sikorsky U.S. 300, designed by Igor Sikorsky. 1941, on this date, the American Flag House, that's Betsy Ross's home, was given to the city of Philadelphia. 1941, aircraft from HMS Royal Ark sight the German battleship Bismarck, the one that destroyed the HMS Hood. Let's see. 1942, there was a tank battle at Bir Hakeim, the Africa Corps versus the British Army. 1945, the U.S. dropped firebombs on Tokyo. 1946, Communist Party leader Clement Gottwald becomes Prime Minister of Czechoslovakia. 1948, the entire Haganah Armed Forces sworn in as Israeli soldiers. 1955, Khrushchev arrives in Belgrade. 1956, a fire on board the aircraft carrier USS Bennington in Narragansett Bay off Rhode Island kills 103 of the crew. 1958, Ceylon emergency crisis is proclaimed. 1961, the Freedom Ride Coordinating Committee is established in Atlanta. 1965, the Dutch Voting Rights Bill passes. 1966, and I remember hearing about this, a Buddhist set himself on fire at the U.S. consulate in Hue in South Vietnam. That was going to bring the war to an end, he thought. Didn't. 1969, Apollo 10 astronauts returned to Earth. 1969, in a completely useless action, John Lennon and Yoko Ono begin their second Bed In for Peace at Hotel La Reine Elizabeth in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. 1972, President Richard Nixon and Soviet leader Leonard Brezhnev signed the SALT Accord. That's the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty. 1972, the Irish Republican Army plant a bomb in Oxford Street in Belfast, kills a 64-year-old woman. 1973, we have got a number of interesting things to talk about. There we go. You know, there's a lot of unexplained mysteries. And sometimes just the explanation is as mysterious as the event itself. There have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mysterious disappearances, for example. Every year, in this country alone, almost 100,000 people vanish. Absolutely no explanation. And the problem is, nobody looks. Let's see. There we go. All righty. It's sometimes the especially with missing persons. Now that my system is, I think, had a nervous breakdown. And that's one of the problems of everything being computerized these days. And if, in fact, you manage to get it working, you don't really understand what happened in the first place. There we go. There have been mysterious disappearances where somebody walks out of a room, opens the door, steps across the threshold, and never is seen on the other side of the threshold. Which does make you wonder exactly what's going on. There we go. Let's see if this works. There we go. Yeah, finally. You know, some days you get so frustrated with the system. There have been a number of cases. Well, the people kidnapped, or that vanish, as it were, aren't children, they're teenagers. Let's talk about the case of Michelle Guerin, 1971. Went missing from Ditch Plains Campground near Shadmore State Park in Montauk, New York State. Now, Montauk, in and of itself, is a mysterious place. 30 years later, in 2003... she made the comment, "During a visit to my uncle's campground at Ditch Plains in Montauk, I went missing for 2 to 3 hours, and my uncle remembers it, but she didn't." So in 2003, she underwent hypnosis with Dr. Kugel to see if she could recover her memories about it. She said the memories had been coming back to her over the years, and they were far from pleasant memories. In fact, to use her expression, they were horrifying. She said when they got to the campsite, she changed into her bathing suit. It was boring, so she decided to walk around. So she walked off, and after a while passed a group of surfers camping there. One of them looked familiar to her. It was a friend's brother. And so she decided to walk down and look for him in the water. So she spotted him, and when he heads in from the water, he calls her name. And he asks her if she wants to go for a walk. Can she meet him back at the campsite? So later on, she goes back to the campsite with him, and they start walking for just under a mile. And then they walk into the dunes to find a quiet spot to sit and commune with nature, I guess you could say. There's a cliff, and there's some tall grass. So they sat down on a towel and start making out. Suddenly they hear a lot of buzzing like bees. They sit up and they look around. They know something's not right. And they want to run, but they can't, and she wants to yell, and she can't talk. Sounds like a car is coming to a stop, and the buzzing gets louder. Next thing she knows, a man in a soldier's uniform is looking down at her. And one of the soldiers makes the comment, the boy's out of it, and the other two pick up the girl. And they're in her Jeep going through grass, and there's a hill up ahead. And she said the hill appears to be moving. Looks like there's a door in the hill. And they drive inside, and she said there are men in black berets inside. The young man is held by two men, and two of them take her. And they go through a door into a bright hallway and turn right into another hallway. At another hallway, they take the young man in a different direction. And the two holding the girl stop at an elevator. And they get in the elevator and they're going down. And the door opens and it's a much darker area. And it smells like a cesspool. And it's so cold, she said. There was a door and one of the soldiers opened it up. And the room is so dark she can hardly see. Looks like there's a padded table. They lay her down on that table and then they leave the room. In spite of the fact she's now alone and unrestrained, she can't seem to move anything but her eyes. And she can't figure out why she's there. Over to the left, something moves, and she sees it. The figure's moving closer, and she finally can see it better, and she thinks to herself, my God, it's a monster. In the doctor's office, under hypnosis, she gets agitated and begins to cry. She had to be calmed down before she can continue. She said she can see it's a creature about 6 or 7 feet tall. It has large ears, and they're pointed. The eyes are bright yellow, and they glow. He's got pointed teeth and he has a tail. And he's coming toward her and gets to the foot of the table and he pulls her bathing suit off. She said his face is close to hers. She hears raspy sounds. She said he put something inside her and she felt like she's being ripped apart. He likes to see how terrified she is. Gives him a lot of pleasure, and when he's done, he goes back to the part of the room she first saw him in. And then the soldiers come in and they help her out of the room and take her to a well-lit room where there are machines that she didn't recognize. There's a table covered in white and a lot of stainless steel equipment. And she's strapped down to a table. People come in wearing white gowns and masks and she feels a prick in her arm. And after that, she remembers nothing until she regained consciousness back at the beach. She also recalled a dark cloaked figure. Didn't recall any facial features since it was obscured by the hood. And she recalled an interrogation by some very human-looking people in military attire. She was asked questions about what she called the little men, the grays. One of their questions was, who or what are they? And she said, they're us. She didn't know why she gave that answer, but that's the answer she gave. Now, after this session, she was stymied. This wasn't something she believed. If there's a relationship, she'd have to connect the dots. And she didn't know why the being she recalled seeing didn't appear to have any souls. And she wondered to herself, was she making this up? And she can certainly understand people questioning what she said. She still finds herself questioning it if it happened or if she fabricated it all. It was this skepticism that forced her to seek as much validation as she could. So it was also perhaps suspicious or maybe unfortunate that when scheduled to speak about her experience in November 1991, she suffered a stroke 2 days before that. Now, she has had other flashbacks about this time when she was taken from the campground, including seeing a face of a person in a conversation that seemed to be telepathic, of him calling her little one and trying to calm her down. She recalled being in a dark place, afraid and floating in something that felt heavier than water. She had been standing naked in front of a metal door, struggling with a soldier while a doctor told her she had to do it. And she was pleading with him not to make her go in that room. She's afraid of drowning. She wants to get out. She calms herself enough to float, and she can feel wires attached to her, stretched out her arms, trying to feel the walls. Doesn't know if her eyes are open or not. It's so black. All she feels is the floating motion. Sees movement and shadows and forms. Well, gray turns to blue like the sky with white clouds. She feels like she's flying. sees tranquil blue water, bluest, beautiful lush hill, mountainous area, deep canyons. There's a big white building. And she remembers diving through the white foam of a deep blue wave. She's underwater. She sees a dark entrance to a cave among the rocks and hills. She described it as a desolate place. She feels lonely and cold, and time isn't what they think it is. Each moment's happening now. It's an endless loop that we can enter at many points, but we have to take care not to disrupt the loops. Where she was abducted was the same area as infamous Montauk, or Camp Hero, as it was called prior to World War II. It's on the eastern tip of Long Island, New York. It's an isolated, desolate stretch of land, now owned by the New York State Office of Parks and Recreation. What remains now of the former military base once operated there is a huge radar dish, abandoned outbuildings and bunkers. Now, when it was abandoned, it became a ripe place for urban explorers, although many found it to be a creepy place to venture into, as well as very risky in terms of safety and the possibility of getting caught for trespassing. It's not the over-the-ground remains of the buildings that are most intriguing. It's what lies underneath, or what's alleged to lie underneath. One of the most widely held beliefs is that the former Air Force base is comprised of facilities under the ground amid an elaborate network of subterranean tunnels. And some believe it's still operational beneath the ground and is home to top-secret and nefarious black operation projects and experiments. Some parts of the camp remain closed off and guarded, especially the area near the old satellite military installations. Richard Whelan, vice president of the East Hampton Trails Preservation Society, the military history buff, was interviewed by Sag Harbor Express, and he's explored Camp Hero in depth over the years before it was legal to actually get into it. He said there's nothing behind it, there's no mystery. The people who live there, it's just about selling books. Interestingly enough, the deeds to Camp Hero state that although the above ground belongs to the Office of Parks and Recreation, everything below ground belongs to the federal government. And those who are termed conspiracy researchers think there's a lot more to Camp Hero than this local historian says. Most notably, there are more witnesses than just Michelle, who would disagree with Whelan's benign version of the story of Camp Hero. And these witnesses say they were taken and held underground, and the circumstances were far from pleasant. It's an alleged place of mass child abductions, psychological warfare, experiments of torture, mind control, time travel, and interdimensional travel. There have been reports of reptilians and greys and a beast that just can't be defined. If we look back at Michelle's experience of being abducted near her uncle's campsite and allegedly taken underground where she was placed in a room with a monster, Dr. Helmut Lammer, Ph.D., who wrote My Lab's Military Mind Control and Alien Abduction in 2000, attempts to explain her experience at Montauk. She said, "We don't think that the military worked with this reptoid creature. It's quite possible she was drugged with a hallucinogen, raped by a human, and the reptoid projected as a kind of screen memory, although she described the skin and other features of the creature quite realistically." Adding to this theory, researcher Dr. Stanislav Grof wrote that the strange alien worlds drugged LSD subjects discover and explore seem to have a reality of their own, although not in the range of our cosmos. They appear to exist in other dimensions or in universe coexistent with ours. The drugged individuals can encounter entities who have bizarre physical forms. He cites that one female of his LSD experiencers had a sense of identification with a species of large reptiles. While experiencing this, she opened her eyes and looked at the therapist, who seemed transformed into a reptile as well. And she was fascinated by scales she visualized on the side of the therapist's head. Now, since many people have phobias about reptiles, Dr. Lammer theorizes it could thus be logical they could experience such beings if they were on a drug trip. It should be clear that Michelle's reptoid rape experience could have been drug-induced, where she possibly saw a human transformed into a reptoid like some of those drug test subjects. He also said after the attack on her, Michelle was escorted to an examination room and strapped down. After the examination, she was forced into an isolation tank where she began to hallucinate. Now, declassified documents show an intelligence agencies had great interest in this research and used hallucinogens for cover stories to discredit individuals during covert operations. He said, we believe her experience shows that there's evidence she was a victim of these deprivation experiments. The abductee underwent hypnoprogramming by military psychiatrists. It should have been possible to create imaginary alien encounters. He also had another alternative to propose, though. A research project by Dr. Alvin Lawson and Dr. W.C. McCall led to a scientifically testable hypothesis that at least some alien abduction experiments are actually birth memories, prenatal or memories from the time of birth. Now, those that believe firmly in the E.T. theory ridiculed this hypothesis. In an attempt to evaluate alien abductee claims, these doctors induced imaginary abduction experiences in a team of volunteers who'd demonstrated no significant knowledge of UFOs. Data from 4 imaginary and 4 real abduction cases showed no substantial differences. Also, patterns echoing well-established details from real alien abduction encounters emerged from these imaginary sessions. All the described incidents were identical with those in alien abductions, from disc-like craft, humanoids, aliens passing through solid walls. All these were seen by the volunteers. In the birth memory study, encounters are described with different types of non-human beings. Photo, animal, robot, creature, apparitional. These types are close to the reported aliens being alien beings of real alien abductions. One test subject described what he saw. He sort of had a scaly-like skin. I'm not comfortable. The other scaly ones, they just seem to be some sort of non-existent or guard-type things or something. The imaginary abductee reported reptoid non-human beings on board an imaginary UFO. And he reported being just as frightened as real abductees, like Michelle. Now, Lammer added that the research doctor was in surprise to find that his research results led to an unusual reaction. Although the article he produced describing his experiments was published in a very obscure and little red magazine, he said that he immediately began to receive literally hundreds of requests for more detailed information from military research centers worldwide. He said, we should therefore be aware of the reported similarities between drug-induced hallucinations and alien abduction experiences. We can see from this imaginary alien abduction study, it'd be easy for psychiatrists to work for secret military and intelligence agencies to create alien abduction scenarios that appear similar to real abduction encounters. Now, after he'd written the article, he later attempted to discover if isolation tanks such as the one Michelle described being placed into in water really could exist. Writing on RENSE.com, he says, I researched a little literature on sensory deprivation experiments and came across isolation tanks invented by Dr. John Lilly. Dr. Lilly tried to find out how he could isolate the brain and the mind. He found such a tank inside a soundproof chamber in an isolated building near the campus of the National Institute of Health. Isolation tank, he said, was built during the World War II for experiments by the Office of Naval Research on underwater swimmers. And that was the beginning of research on isolation, including using drugs. He also points out, it should be noted, Lilly was contacted by covert intelligence services for the Department of Defense. As the isolation tank research became known, various individuals from government agencies called in to find out more about it. Doctor claims that among them were researchers working in brainwashing. And they asked him if isolation tanks could be used to change belief systems of persons under coercion. They also wanted to use the tanks for experiments in mind control and straight-out brainwashing. The doctor visualized that people's belief systems could be changed as desired by the controllers. He was convinced the military and intelligence would indeed use this isolation technique for covert experiments. And it would appear that Michelle's experiences show that this actually happened, that there's enough evidence she's one victim of such a deprivation tank experiment. This had nothing to do with aliens. At least the evidence would tend to support that belief. 3 years prior to Michelle's experience becoming known, a special report by John Quinn, who ran NewsHawk, an email-based news service, was published in Volume 25, Number 13 of the Phoenix Journal in October 1999. A man now living in Calgary, Canada, named John Tucker, has had substantial recall and personal involvement in the Montauk Project. Tooker believes he was a participant during the Montauk Project operations in the late 70s and early 80s while in an altered state of mind or in some alternate parallel reality or timeline. He says he was a very different person there. He was working on advanced time technologies at the base. He literally may have been subjected to some kind of age regression or transfer of consciousness. During this time, he was also known as Daniel John Waters. And he's reported on some very strange happenings in Calgary as well, which sounds similar to Denver, with Denver being as, known as the center for the NWO, or New World Order. Given that Calgary is in roughly the same geographical relationship to the Continental Divide as Denver is, perhaps there's some esoteric Earth energy relationship that may make Calgary suitable for use as another NWO nerve center. Now, Tooker said one base, although decommissioned and closed, is in fact still functioning but has become extremely secretive. Based on observation and eyewitness testimony from a guard who'd been appointed there, this guard, who's a close friend of Tooker and has worked with him on some research, was transferred by explanation from that location. Now, there was more notable weirdness that came to light. Bearing in mind, this report was written in 1999, almost over two decades ago, when Tooker said that some things were going on, so-called phone transmitter towers appearing everywhere. There was a covert purpose to this, he said. Such transmitters are being used for mind control and mind modification of the population. Most of these towers are operating at just at much more power than is needed just for cell phone transmissions. He went on to say his home is in a very sparsely populated mountain region, and sure enough, a transmitter was installed on the mountain. The now, Denver is supposedly really crawling with Montauk boys and, to an extent, Montauk girls. Young people, the Aryan characteristics have been programmed with Montauk monarch techniques in order to be sleeper agents who are being used in psychotic, satanic, and murderous covert government operations. You know, it's interesting to note that there have been quite a number of stories about such sleeper agents. The streets of Calgary have become inundated with a tremendous number of street people, the great majority of whom fit the requirements for the typical Montauk boy to a T. Now, if they think this is too conspiratorial and imaginative, there have been a lot of testimony from better-known Montauk boys, such as Al Bielik, Preston Nichols, and Stuart Swerdlow, of vivid accounts of their time. They're absolutely... Are they believable, or are they sheer fantasy? That's something you have to decide yourself. And you also have to keep in mind that Los Angeles is now overrun with homeless, many of whom fit the Montauk boy and Montauk girl characteristics. According to a writer by the name of Quinn, large portions of Long Island have underground facilities, including, of course, the Brookhaven Labs, confirmed to the Long Island Reporter Jerry Chemisi by a private contractor who apparently worked often at that facility. El Paso has quite a lot of underground facilities. I've explored some of them. Of John Tooker, he appears to have been posting to the Internet since the time that Quinn wrote his 1999 report revealing him as a Montauk experiencer. He made in 2002 a post to John Tidor, a person who had come forward a few years ago to say he was posting messages from the future. Well, what's interesting many of these people say that when they were working at Montauk, they had different names and different personalities. Going to this Titter, when he was working there, he was a research and development assistant of Dr. Von Neumann, who was a Project Paperclip Nazi brought to America. And at that time, he was known as Daniel John Waters. He was had a rank of lieutenant colonel. Now, Tooker, who was formerly known as Daniel John Waters, apparently says he helped Stephen Gibbs build HDR units in the 1980s. Gibbs created the HDR, or Hyperdimensional Resonator, in 1985.
A device, in Gibbs' words, apparently has the ability to send people physically through time. And if the CIA got a hold of something like that, Lord knows what the heck they would do with it. Now, self-styled hoax hunter, researcher John Erasmus, believes Tooker is a person connected with time travel, but outside of the John Titor story. Erasmus adds, Tooker's clearly not sane, but few HDR users are. He posts his personal home address constantly on his websites, which are full of time travel links and stories of him being a Montauk boy. Now, many of these websites have vanished off the internet. They say once something's put up, it can never come down, but these have. For a while, there was much speculation on forums as to whether Tooker was in fact actually John Titor, although the John Titor time traveler from the future could be a hoax anyway. In fact, recently, John Titor, that's T-I-T-O-R if you want to go look him up, seems to have returned. And it could well be a continuation of a hoax. To add to the confusion, another person with a PhD has come forward to say he's the former John Tooker of Montauk, and while the Montauk base might have closed down, the projects going on underground simply moved to another location. He said, there's another John on the internet who does have my last name that's supposedly a time traveler. What's interesting is that the project moved from Montauk to Robbins Air Force Base in Warner Robbins, Georgia in 1995. He said, I moved from Tucson to Warner Robbins in 1994 and graduated from high school there in 1998. The Warner Robbins is a small town and many people there know me as John, J-O-N. He said, I was working in the high strain rate lab at Georgia Tech. I'd independently continue my cosmology research. And if my work leads to free energy, well, then good, but a spy came to look at what I was working on. There used to be a site online, he said, in 2004 that discussed a lot of this, but it's offline now. While doing his PhD studies at Georgia Tech, he solved the major outstanding problem in physics. Also very involved in the Occupy Atlanta movement, he believed it's partially for these political reasons that he's not been given due credit for what's plainly evident in his research. In fact, at one point, the FBI released information about a plot to assassinate the Occupy leaders. Well, he produced a copy of the first paper he wrote, and it's highly technical, but non-mathematical and very short. He said his manuscript had been rejected and plagiarized by academics several times. He said, strangely, he looks exactly like Jack Parsons, the rocket scientist some say was experimenting with Aleister Crowley, who opened a portal of entities into our world. And I've heard many, many stories about Crowley and Parsons and that whole crew. He said, I discovered all this largely via recovered memories and psychological research, but I have no hard evidence that this person existed, which is why he was trying to contact other time travelers. He says there are quite a number of them in this time frame. He said this isn't his original timeline. He believes he jumped timelines not long after doing some work with Steve Gibbs on his trip up to Calgary. Well, there is quite a lot of other information about this John Tooker that frankly is fascinating. What's if, in fact, any of it is true, and it does involve, you know, the Nazis were doing experiments and really bizarre things, and a lot of those people were brought over under Operation Paperclip, and many of those projects were just moved from Germany to here. So, literally, anything is possible. Well, we've come to the end of today's show. We'll be back tomorrow and talk more about unexplained disappearances. Until then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.